Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Honorable, respected, beloved elders, brothers and our young ones in Islam, this deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala teaches us a very important aspect with regards to our deeds, our a'mal, and that is we should always aspire to do better, and that is only for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is why when the ulama have categorized fasting, then they have generally categorized it into three types, into three kinds, three categories. They say one is the fasting of the general ummah, mine and your fasting. And our fasting generally entails that we keep away from eating and drinking and fulfilling our carnal desires from sehri to iftar. And that is what we call a fast. We will say with the niyat of fast. But the question would be that for how long are we going to carry on with this kind of fast? Should there be an aspiration in our lives to do better, to try and get closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Or is iftar the end of the fast? Is Eid the end of the month of fasting for a believer? So that is why they have stated that the second category of a higher level is the fast of what is termed of the sulaha and the awliya, the pious, the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and what their fast entails. On the one hand, they would also keep away from eating and drinking and fulfilling one's carnal desires from sehri to iftar in the month of Ramadan or otherwise. But they have heightened their fast. Fast actually means a sawm. It means to refrain, to restrain, to abstain. And their abstinence had been heightened. And what is that abstinence? What is that higher level of abstinence? Is now they keep away from the disobedience of Allah. In Ramadan and out of Ramadan, they become aware that there is this concept of abstinence in Islam, what you and I may call taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The ayah of fasting that becomes replete in this month, that this is what the desire, this is what the aspiration of a believer should be. Inshallah we'll come back to this one just a little bit more. The third category that they speak about is the fast of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam. that Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam had also abstained and kept away from eating and drinking and fulfilling the carnal desires from the time of Sehri to Iftar in the month of Ramadan, out of the month, whenever. Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam were naturally an Allah-given ni'mat that they did not commit sins, they were masoom. But there was one thing that the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam were guarded about. And that is, in the terminology of the ulama, they protected the heart from what is termed as masiwallah. They protected the heart from everything besides Allah. There was only one love in the lives of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. There was only one throb in the lives of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. There was that one love in the hearts of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. And that was the deep, intense love for Allah. Allah grant us also. Brothers, Allah has given us this opportunity of the month of Ramadan. Who knows whether we will see the next day? Who knows whether we will see iftar? But let us heighten the objectives of our fast. Let us heighten this concept of abstinence. Let us not merely keep it from iftar, from sehri to iftar, and go on day after day doing the same thing. But let us try and bring into our lives the obedience of Allah, keeping away from sin, cleansing our hearts, and keeping everything else besides Allah away from our hearts. Now coming to the fast of the sulaha, of the pious and the awliya, let us just look at one or two aspects with regards to abstaining from sin. In a hadith, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once advised Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The prelude of this hadith is a bit lengthy, but nonetheless he said to him, ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. When you and I speak about ibadat, when you and I speak about a worshipper of Allah, when we speak about who carries out the most ibadat, our minds will go to perhaps the amount of Quran that somebody will recite, which is a great thing. It's a gift from Allah. It is tawfiq from Allah. Or sometimes it may be a person that makes an abundance of nafil salat, and that again is tawfiq and a gift from Allah. But we have the one aspect of ibadat and we did not scrutinize it in the light of the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as to the best worshipper of Allah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ittaqil maharim, keep away from that which is haram. Takun abadan nas, should you keep away from whatever Allah has made haram, then you will become the best worshipper of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hasan al-Basri rahimahumullah, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahumullah, both have narrated similar words when they were asked about what taqwa is. Ittaqil maharim. Here the word taqwa comes. As a matter of fact, if you go on counting in the Quran, there's over 200 places in the different forms that Allah Ta'ala speaks about taqwa. So ittaqil maharim, what is this taqwa? What is this word and how is it interpreted? So great, these two great scholars were asked about it and both of them removed an impression that would have been in the mind of the questioner. And they said, Taqwa is not bi kathrati siyam wa bi kathrati salat. It is not an abundance of nafal, an abundance of optional fasting. The month of Ramadan, we will have to fast. But over and above, if a person fasts, he should make shukr to Allah. It is meritorious. It is a great deed. Salat here refers to nafal salat. Nafal salat, like tahajjud and the other salat. Again, if Allah gives us the opportunity, the tawfiq, why not? We should perform it. But they are saying that is not taqwa in the eyes of Allah. Taqwa is that a person abstains from haram. A person abstains from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram. Now to contextualize this, we will go to a sahabi of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was not only a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he was the founding father of tafsir of the Quran Sharif. He was known as Ra'isul Mufassir. He was known as Hibrul Ummah, the sage of this Ummah. We speak about a Buzrug, we speak about a saintly personality. He was recognized amongst his peers as being a very saintly person. And he was known as Bahrul Ulum, an ocean of knowledge. In his midst, there were Sahaba that possessed knowledge, but obviously they recognized his far exceeding knowledge on the Quran Sharif, and hence the result of this was that on many occasions these kind of questions were put to him to put things into perspective that tell us, one is a person, I'm just going to paraphrase this, one is a person that performs his far salat. Number two, he performs his wajibat, the witr salat and the other wajib acts of deen. And then he is particular and meticulous about the sunnah muakkada salat. And then after that, there's not much he offers to Allah Ta'ala by way of optional prayers, by way of optional ibadat. However, this person keeps away from sin. He keeps away from the disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then we have another person that exerts. He exerts himself in the fara'id, the fard, the wajibat, and the sunnah muakkada, and then he goes on to the nafal and an abundance of ibadat. However, this person does not keep away from haram. So on the one hand, there's a tremendous amount of good, but on the other hand, the person is violating the commandments of Allah, he's committing sin. So, in your eyes, who is the better one? So he said the two of them cannot be compared. There's no comparison. The first person is far exceedingly closer to Allah than the second. So brothers, we understand from here that this month of Ramadan is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined the objective of لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may acquire the quality of taqwa, the quality of self-abstinence. And that does not stop at Sihri. It does not stop on the day of Eid. But the struggle will go on. And we need to become more and more obedient to Allah, keeping away from sin. And yes, a person may make an error, a person may slip. And what happens in that instance? Some of the ulama of the past have explained that we looked very, very closely to the lives, into the lives of the Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we found that there were four aspects, four things that Sahaba would always keep away from. They were persistent, they were steadfast, and they were diligent in keeping away from these four aspects. The one is shirk, that is ascribing partners to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in its different forms. We leave that for another day's discussion. However, the second one was they protected themselves from persisting in the disobedience of Allah. If there was a slip, if there was an error, they will immediately turn to Allah and make tawbah. In the kitabs of hadith, there's an incident of a person that used to sell dates, khajur. And on one occasion, a woman came in to buy, and the person, now this is the slip. One is inherent weaknesses that we have. On the other hand, a temptation. So the person slips regarding this woman, and immediately he realizes, he understands, he made an error, he made a mistake. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when Allah speaks about the muttaqeen in the Quran, muttaqeen are not angels that are sinless, but Allah ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً, those who committed an immodest act, a shameless act, أو ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, or they transgressed themselves, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ, at that point, they remember Allah. And what do they do? فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, immediately they seek forgiveness and they ask Allah for forgiveness. That is a sign of a muttaqi. It is not that a muttaqi will not slip. He is a sinless being. That is Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. But when it happens, immediately they turn to Allah, dhakarullah, they remember Allah and they ask forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, this person leaves and he goes now towards our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In one narration, he meets Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu sees anxiety on the face of this man, and he asked him, what is troubling you? The person replies and he explains the circumstance that I slipped regarding this woman. It was not zina. It was not anything that one would have thought that this person had gone through. It was merely that the person had touched this woman, and that is the realization that had come to him at that particular time. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who hears this, he says to him, my brother, his name was Abu Yusr, Abu Yusr, you are remorseful, you are regretful, seek forgiveness from Allah and go on. But that does not pacify him. He goes further, and he goes to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in one narration, he asks Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to implement the penal law, either lash me, or alternatively stone me to death. So brothers, this is Sahaba, this is a believer, that there may be a temptation, there may be a slip, there may be an error, but they did not persist, and they did not remain in that condition, but they turned to Allah, they asked Allah for forgiveness, They went through the state of restlessness. Nonetheless, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the time of salah. Salah was performed, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced to this person that Allah has forgiven you. So there was no persistence on the disobedience of Allah. As a matter of fact, ulama have written, persistence on sin is worse than the sin in itself. But nonetheless, the third quality that the Sahaba had was they were never despondent of the mercy of Allah. They did not lose hope in the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala at any given time. Ulama have written that one of the plots and ploys of shaitan, when a person makes an error, a person commits a sin, number one, shaitan will make that person feel like the sin is so huge, Allah will never forgive you. And that is the plot of shaitan. And on the other hand, shaitan will make us feel as though we are such saintly persons, we never sin. So we need to maneuver our lives between these two. So, the last, with regards to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, is they were never oblivious of the makar of Allah. Makar is an Arabic word, difficult to translate, but the plot of Allah. They were never ever oblivious, and they were always cautious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plot. We know the wheel turns, a person does wrong, a person makes zulam, a person oppresses. One day it will come back to him. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that I am so cautious with regards to the plot of Allah, to the plan of Allah, that if hypothetically, and this Abu Bakr, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abu Bakr, for you on the day of Qiyamah, all 8 doors of Jannah will be open, 8 doors of Jannah will be calling you. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, despite all those glad tidings from our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if hypothetically I am granted Jannah, and the right foot of Abu Bakr is in Jannah, and the left foot is yet to enter, up to that point of time, I will never become oblivious of the plots and the plan of Allah against me. Brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this beautiful month of Ramadan. The moments are ticking, the days are moving. Let us turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Let us seek from Allah Rabbul Izzat. Let us ask Allah Ta'ala for the tawfiq to do better, to become better Muslims, to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us not engage in frivolous activities, in frivolous talks, in frivolous engagements, what we have been doing over the years. But let us create a new mindset that this Ramadan, I want to use it in getting closer to Allah, and it doesn't stop at the end of Ramadan, but it continues, and my journey to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala continues. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.